It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Coach's kid, you don't get to see that all the time. You know, they're out recruiting it, and they spend a lot of hours coaching. And so to be able to spend those 5 years with them was really, really special.
Yes, the newly minted Hoffer. That's what we call them, Hoffers, Hall of Fame. Stoke, congrats. Everyone here, very happy for you this past week. You obviously were not here the last couple days to end last week because you were in Louisiana getting inducted into the state's Sports Hall of Fame, Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Had to have been an incredible experience. Looked awesome.
Oh, it was so much fun to be able to spend it with my family. And everybody drove up from South Louisiana. And,
nice.
And of course, you know how we do it. It was just a big party for 4 days. And it was a lot of fun. Family, friends. And it was just a blast, man. They did a really good job, had a really good time, and saw a lot of great people. Brings back a lot of great memories of growing up and people that kind of helped you get to where you
sure.
got to. And so just very humbled by the experience and very appreciative of just everybody along the way. You kind of reflect on all the people that helped you get to where you got to and all the things that went your way for you to achieve your success. So for me, it was just a fun 4 days, a blast. And to be able to spend that time with my family and supporters made it even more special. So it was great. You know, it was a big party, a lot of events going on, and we all had a blast.
Did you get to see like former teammates at all, and reconnect with guys from your football past?
Saw a few of them. Saw some a few of my coaches, and just a lot of different people, and that's what it's all about. And you kind of you start reminiscing. You're living in the old days now.
Sure,
you know,
sure,
you're like
sure.
reminiscing about the good old days, and it's like, goodness, that's when you're getting old.
Right.
That's when you're getting old. But just truly just a lot of fun and very just a humbling experience, and it was just a blast. I mean, I got to a cool experience. Willis Reed is in the Louisiana Hall of Fame.
Is that right?
So they have some of the older players that come back, or some of the older inductees come back, and he was there. Eddie Boo Kennison was there, which I don't know how many Broncos country doesn't really love Eddie Boo Kennison because of how it ended here, but he's a great guy. So it was good to see him. Obviously going in with Reggie Wayne was
sure.
special. He's just a good guy, a hard worker, and so I love that guy. And just seeing a lot of different people, different faces, and hearing different stories. And I mean, that's what it's all about. You hear some of these guys' stories, and you know, we had a Bassmaster fishing champion go in. You had a drag car racer go in. You had a bunch of sports contributors go in. So it was just a collection of a lot of different people, and to hear their stories. A high school football coach who was actually my offensive coordinator my first year at UL. He went in. He's won numerous state championships in high school down there. So just a great collection of different individuals that have just contributed to sports. And you look at all the great, not just great athletes, but just how much they love sports in Louisiana.
Sure.
And you look at all the past inductees, and it was fun, man. Fun 4 days, and it was long. It was long.
I was going to say, is this one of those things where they pack your schedule and say, hey, you got to be here at 1:00, you got to be back here at 4:00 type of deal?
Not really. But to a certain degree, you know, you're there from, I got there Wednesday afternoon, and, you know, Thursday you got something, Friday you got something, Saturday, obviously, you know, the day's pretty full on Saturday, but you have good breaks in between. So
okay.
They're not running you around. We had a little bowling thing on Thursday, so that was fun. You spend that time with your family, and then you have a 4 or 5 hour break, and then you go to the big press conference, and then in the evening you're kind of off to hang out at the wherever with your family, had some good dinner. And ate some good food. Put on about 10 pounds, of course.
I was going to say, did you It had to have been quite a run. So you came back with a couple more pounds with one less year on your life?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. but the great thing about that is, and they had Saturday morning, they had a sports camp for kids. Mm-hmm. And so you get out there and you help with the kids and you just go out there and you have fun. But you're out there in the hot sun. So you sweat it out down there.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? You sweat because the humidity and stuff. So it kind of makes you feel good a little bit because you know you are losing a little bit because of how hot and humid it is.
Right. And I, you know, to speak to that humidity, as soon as you step off the plane, I was there last weekend in New Orleans. As soon as you step off the plane, it just hits you in the mouth.
It does. It does. It's a different type of feel.
And smell.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And the first waft when you get off that plane, this is no disrespect, of course, because I love
it. Well, it sounds like it.
Well, I mean,
I don't think it's that bad. Goodness gracious. I don't know.
Don't smell like Colorado. It smells different.
But it's just like it's hard to breathe.
Yep.
It's hard to breathe. It's so thick and just there's no airflow.
Right.
There's no airflow.
So
but
true.
You get a good sweat in. You get a great sweat in. But just, you know, hanging out with all those guys all week and my family was fun. It was a blast. And obviously Saturday night was special. Kind of think back on, you know, my mom and dad who both passed away and just what they meant to me, my grandfather, this past year.
Yep.
And we had him on here. And so he knew I was going in.
Yeah.
He was so proud of me. And that was my guy. But just to think about them and their impact, just a fun week. And, of course, last night, you know, we flew straight from Shreveport. Shreveport to Natchitoches is an hour drive, but it's a straight flight from Denver. They have a straight flight to Shreveport, which is nice. So we get to Shreveport, and, of course, what happens?
You're delayed.
Yes. And right away, they tell you 3-hour delay. Like, wait, what? What about the 45-minute delay?
Right, you don't even get to work up to it.
Right. What's going on here? You knew you were in trouble when you hear a 3-hour delay right away.
Right.
Next thing you know, they had to fly another plane in from Denver to come get us. So
The
3 hours ended up being a little over 6 hours. And so, you know, you're hoping to get back at a reasonable hour. Supposed to get back at about 6 o'clock. Next thing you know, you get back at 1 o'clock in the morning. But we did get back. So happy about that. Happy to be back here. Happy to be back with you. And
What was your highlight? What was your highlight of the weekend? You know, when you look back years from now, what will be something that sticks out for you?
Wow. I would just think Saturday night, the induction ceremony, and just seeing all my family there. You know, a lot of people drove up that day, just some friends and some old coaches and just a bunch of different people, some people you haven't seen in a while, and just really special that they took time out of their Saturday to drive from wherever, Lafayette, and drive 3 hours up to Natchitoches and to come see me. And so that, to me, will stand out after the ceremony, just getting to hang out with everybody and thank them. And so for me, it would be the Saturday evening induction. Was really, really cool. They do a great job, and you know they make everything a party. And it was just a lot of fun. The whole week was a lot of fun.
Your speech, what was your speech like? How much time did you put into it? How long was it?
Because
this
is always
a tricky thing.
What I liked about it was there's no speech. So they carry it live on TV. First year, live on TV. So what they did was you got 6 minutes, and they have like a moderator, and he's going to ask you questions.
Oh.
And it was actually a guy that actually went into the Hall of Fame this year that kind of moderated
as a broadcaster?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. And he's done a lot of like LSU baseball games.
Sure,
he's just
a
staple.
Sure.
Down there. So he got to moderate it. So they asked me questions. And so I think the best question that I got was when I just got to thank everybody that was there and just show my appreciation for everybody because, you know, they were so supportive. And like everywhere I would go, they would just show up and there would be 30 people. In the Stokely Army. I mean, and I never knew what I was going to see after a game. That's the thing. You know, they like to have a good time. And they were going there. They were going to party.
Right.
And after one game, and I didn't tell this story, and I should have. After one game, I show back up after the game, you know, saying hi to everybody. And somebody had a neck brace on. I left them 12 hours before, no neck brace. And then fast forward to after the game, they have a neck brace on. Like, what is going on here? What happened? Well, that just tells you, you know, that they went and they had a good time. And obviously a lot of fun just being able to spend those games and those moments with them because
sure.
they were so supportive. And but they had a blast doing it. And so I got to thank all of them. I made all of them stand up, every one of my supporters there and fans. And so that was the best part for me.
That sounds like a special weekend, man. That sounds like
it was a very special weekend. It was
weekend.
A lot of fun.
Hall of Famer. Can't take that away from you.
You got into...
I did. I'm going into my high school's Hall of Fame this fall. I did. I got the call when you were gone. Pretty cool.
I know. How about that? That's awesome. Raj kind of was filming, and I saw a little piece of, why weren't the cameras in here, and why didn't we do a big unveiling for you?
You know what?
I mean, you deserve it.
No, I'm going to HR right after the show.
Right.
That's really weird.
Disrespect.
The imbalance of...
Unbelievable.
It doesn't feel right.
Hey, it doesn't matter which one. Congratulations, buddy.
Proud of you. Appreciate it, man. What a seismic shift in all of sports as LeBron James is headed to the bright lights of Los Angeles. Somehow during the process, did the Nuggets look bad? That's next. What a seismic shift over the weekend as LeBron James signs a four-year, $153 million contract with the Los Angeles Lakers, as reported by ESPN's Brian Windhorst, among others. Unbelievable.
It really was, out of nowhere. Just kind of dropped yesterday while I was sitting in the airport for 6 hours. So I got to read up on it a lot.
Right. What do you make of the move in general? It's not like we didn't see it coming because you and I had talked about the odds and the way that it was shaping out. What do you make of it?
I was still surprised, you know, because when Paul George went back to OKC.
How about that?
I thought that might prevent LeBron from going to Los Angeles. But it didn't. So it's not like it was a complete surprise, but I was a little bit surprised. I thought he might try to, you know, end up in Houston, and but just how quickly it happened. Didn't drag on very long. He wasn't taking meetings, and it went very, very quickly, and that's what kind of surprised me the most.
You know, that is interesting because in the past, it's sort of been like a lot of pomp and circumstance leading up to his decisions, these meetings, these, you know, sort of like theatrics almost to go along with it. It couldn't have been more different this time around. Everything quiet, subtle, under the radar. I was listening to ESPN Zach Lowe's podcast, The Low Post, last week, and he had Brian Windhorst on, and he said, you know, Zach Lowe was like, you know, I got this vacation to Europe scheduled at the end of July. I hope it doesn't come then. And Windhorst said, it ain't taking that long. He's like, what do you mean? He said, I have it on pretty good information that this thing is going to happen with the quickness. And sure enough.
It did. It did. It's going to be interesting to see how it works for him there. Going to the Western Conference. Historic franchise like the Lakers. What other pieces will they be able to get? Will they be able to make a trade for Kawhi? Will they go get Boogie Cousins? What will they do with Randall and, you know, Lonzo? Is he going to still be in the mix? Are they going to look to trade him? Is LaVar going to just run his mouth too much? And, you know, what's that conversation like between Lonzo and LaVar? Like, hey, seriously, Dad, look, can't do it now.
Right.
Can't do it because if you make him mad, they will trade me.
Sure.
He will make sure of it. So do you want me in L.A.? Do you think that's enough to keep LaVar quiet?
I think it is. In fact, let me ask you this. When's the last time you heard LaVar say something?
It's been a while.
And I think there has been real conversations had behind the scenes about Lonzo's future indirectly being affected by his dad. And I also heard a Laker executive say that, you know, the reason that LiAngelo Ball wasn't on the Lakers summer league team is he said that there was more to it than basketball. Well, what else could
right.
there be? So they've already felt the negative ramifications at the NBA level for the first time now.
Yeah.
Where it's really directly affected one of his boys.
I don't know if you can keep him down.
I don't know.
I don't think you can.
I don't know. It's the same guy who said he beat Michael Jordan one-on-one.
So, he's already called LeBron out once.
Right.
Talking about his kids, I think.
Yeah. So we'll see. But the Lakers have done a really nice job of drafting. That's one thing you got to give them credit for. Lonzo Ball, Julius Randle, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart from Villanova. They have some really nice young pieces, but it's clearly not enough. They're not winning the championship with the group assembled right now, period. So they need someone else. You know, maybe it's Kemba Walker who's got 1 year left on his deal. Maybe it's a guy like that who is a little bit, it's not Paul George, but it's an all-star that can come play with those young guys. I was stunned by the Paul George decision.
Yep.
I was stunned. I was so stunned. I cannot believe it. You know, they got their own house party in Oklahoma City.
Is that what it was?
Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony picks up his player option, obviously.
Right. I mean,
right. And now Paul George, there has been this constant narrative that, hey, small market teams can't keep free agents, you know, big names. Paul George is a top 7-8 player in the league. He's saying in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, for the foreseeable future of his career, along with another, you know, top 7-8 guy in Russell Westbrook, they've been able to figure it out.
I was just surprised with, you saw how it just didn't mesh those three. And Carmelo's done. He's been done.
I agree.
He's been done.
I agree.
And so I don't know why they signed him to begin with. That was a bad signing.
Bad deal. I agree.
And they just never meshed together. That team just looked
disjointed.
Yeah, all out of place. And you saw just the Jazz just take it to them. I mean, they just made them look silly. And so you thought the writing was on the wall. Paul George is leaving that mess. That thing is not getting much better. But it happened. He stayed.
Here we are. It really is unbelievable. Let me ask you a question. Going into the break, I said, do the Nuggets possibly look bad here? Because you saw the Nuggets, and Chris Mannix tweeted it, quote, with Jokic and Barton on board, the Denver Nuggets will turn their attention to one more free agent, LeBron James. The Nuggets have been in contact with James's agent and will aggressively pursue a meeting.
What's shocking there? But what's shocking? I look at this.
Aggressively pursue.
Who's not? What team in the NBA is not going to aggressively pursue LeBron James? I mean, which team?
Ones that have an idea of the landscape of where they're at.
I think every team would want to aggressively pursue a meeting with LeBron James. I think every team was going to turn their attention to try to get LeBron James. I mean, some of them realize that they can't. So I look at this tweet and I'm like, okay, what's there? Nothing really for me. It's just a bunch of words. I mean, they're saying they want to aggressively pursue a meeting? Well, I think every team would want to.
I think some of the thought was, and I've heard this sentiment shared on social media and even on these airwaves this morning, that the Nuggets maybe looked, I don't know what the exact verbiage would be, but almost like desperate to just speak to the guy, almost like they're groveling, like please, like, you know, give us the Denver Nuggets
so.
5 minutes of
look,
of
it's
your
LeBron
time
James. You do whatever you got to do to try to get a meeting, and if you could get him here, I mean, all hands on deck, whatever it takes. If we could do it, let's do it. It doesn't to me make them look desperate at all. I mean, I think they're doing due diligence and look, let's go for it. If you have a chance, go for it. And if you don't get it, you don't get it. You know, I mean, you won't know if you don't try. You know, sometimes it doesn't work out and you fail, but hey, let's go for that thing, man.
And
try to make it happen. Obviously it didn't happen, but I don't mind that at all. I don't think it makes them look desperate. They got a good young group, and they're going to have a good team this next year. And the following year, they're going to have some money opened up from getting rid of all these contracts.
The Luol Deng contract, worst in the league.
The Luol?
Yeah, the Lakers.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Nuggets.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm Nuggets. You're in La-La Land over there, in Lakerland. I'm talking about the their Fareed contract's pretty bad, too.
It really is.
But you look at Fareed, Chandler, and...
Darrell Arthur.
Yes, you look at those three, and those will be gone. You could opt out on Millsap after the, next year also.
Yep,
so
good point.
You're going to be able to shed a lot of money, and you still have Gary Harris, you still have Jokic, you still have Porter and Murray and Barton. And you're going to have money to spend. I like what they got going here. They could attract a nice piece.
They could. And they're headed in the right direction. And I think everyone with a rational mind and an actively working brain and isn't like has some other agenda agrees that the Nuggets are moving in the right direction with or without LeBron James. So,
yes, right. And that's all I want to see as a fan. Which direction are we heading? We're heading up, even without LeBron or any other big name free agent this year. The future is bright for the Denver Nuggets.
Stoke, what did Emmanuel Sanders say over the weekend that's going to rile up our guy D-Mac? We'll get to it next.
There's never an off-season for Talking Broncos.
What if Royce Freeman...
What did Emmanuel Sanders say that's going to rile up D-Mac this time? Stoked you see Emmanuel spoke to Nikki Javala, friend of the show of The Athletic.
I did. Saw that.
Football camp.
Had a lot of free time yesterday. Was doing a lot of research and 6-hour delay. I did
Stuck
see
in the
it.
Airport, right?
Stuck in the airport. I did see it. Yes, I did.
he said a handful of different interesting things. The one that we'll start on and focus on is the following quote from Emmanuel. Quote, I always play like that. It's always year to year. I got something to prove this year. And if I don't prove it to the Broncos, then I'll be proving it to some other team. But at the end of the day, God willing, I stay healthy. I'll be in the NFL next year as well. That's the goal. I don't worry about what team. I'm working for the Denver Broncos this year, and I'm going to do my best to try to bring a Super Bowl trophy to this city.
What's wrong with it? I have no issue at all with anything that he said. None at all. That's how I want him to feel. And that's how NFL players have to feel and should feel. It's year to year. And he realizes, and he says it in here, that, you know what, he has to go out there and play well. Because you have to prove it. If it's not going to be for the Denver Broncos, it's going to be for another team. That's the truth. You know, nothing in here that he's saying should surprise anybody. It's just the cold, hard facts. If he doesn't play well, guess what? He'll be gone next year because he's got no more guaranteed money on his contract.
That's right.
And he's going to be looking at a base salary at $10 million. I mean, he's gone. So he's got to go out there and perform at a high level and play really good football. If it's not here and if the number's too high here, he needs to prove himself for another team. But that's every NFL player. That's how you should feel. You should look at it year by year and say, you know what? I got to go out there and prove myself this year. I got to go out there and have a great year because even if it's not for this team, it's for another team. But you still want to go out there and play well for the Denver Broncos. I don't see anything in here where he says, anything bad about the Denver Broncos?
No, he doesn't. And I really, from a fundamental standpoint, don't disagree with any of your reaction to this quote. The question that I think was raised by some others, and it deserves to be asked, is the fact that it looks like Emmanuel Sanders is viewing himself as almost like a mercenary. You know, a just professional receiver that is going to punch a clock for the Broncos and move on with or without the Broncos.
That's how you have to feel. Because if he doesn't go out and have a good year, what's going to happen? He's gone.
They'll spit him out anyway.
Yeah, they're releasing him. So, you know, it's NFL's a tough business, and players have to start viewing it that way. Like, I'm only a rental here, and it's year by year. I got to go out there and have a great year. I got to play good football. We got to win games. And if all that happens, he'll be back next year. But if it doesn't happen, and they look at his salary cap number, and they look at his price tag, and they look at these young guys, they might have to move on without him. He sees that. They drafted two receivers this year, one in the second round, one in the fourth round. They drafted those guys to eventually take over for DT and Emmanuel. He understands that. He sees his number next year, $10 million base salary, cap hit of $12 million. So, with only a $2 million dead cap hit, so if you release him, you're only going to have to be paying $2 million for 1 year. Not to him, but just on the salary cap.
Right.
So, you look at the numbers, and they say, I got to have a great year this year, or I'm going to be released. And he might have to have a special, special year. And it might not even matter what he does. Unless he goes out there and, you know, his top five and all these different numbers. And if he doesn't do that, they're probably moving on from Emmanuel Sanders for a number of different reasons. That number right there, that $12 million cap hit, and on top of that, you look at these young guys coming up that aren't making money. Sooner or later, you got to turn over the mantle to those guys, pass the torch to those guys. Emmanuel sees that. He's a smart guy. He realizes what's happening here. And if you look at all the little pieces out there, it tells you Emmanuel needs to have a special year this year to stay around for 2019.
And like you said, it may have to be special, special.
Special, special, special.
Special, extra, special, special.
Extra special,
with the
special,
fourth
special.
One. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Throw an extra in there.
So
you can throw an extra, extra.
On the side.
Yeah.
To go.
Yep.
Okay.
Needs to have a great year.
You know, I'm viewing Emmanuel, and this is the way the National Football League works, where you see the writing on the wall, and a guy is going to have to bend time and space to be a part of the picture moving forward. Because you know where we sat this time, you and I, on July 2nd, 2017, who we are talking about in this sort of same respect. CJ Anderson. that we said, you know, C.J. Anderson, he was owed, what was it, about $4.5 million, something to that effect. We said, hey, C.J. Anderson is going to go have to play 16 games, which he's never done. He's going to have to hit 1,000 yards, which he's never done. And he's going to have to be an every down back for the Broncos to warrant that money. He did those things, and they still moved on.
Still wasn't good enough. They got young guys. You look at that cap number, and you want a little bit more. And when you're talking about running backs, it's a little bit different also because those guys are everywhere.
Sure.
And so it was going to be really, really hard for him to be around this coming year. And that was the case because he did pretty much everything. I'd like to see a little bit more explosive plays and some bigger plays from him. But other than that,
he was a top 10 rusher in the league.
Yeah, other than that, he did everything. He made a good case to stick around. But it just you look at all the writing on the wall and all the little signs out there just said that he probably wasn't going to be around this year. And they released him.
You know, Emmanuel.
And you look at Emmanuel's age also. And
31 years old.
Yeah, and in 2000, going into 2019, he'll be 32. So, you know, that plays a role when you start looking at 2019. After this next year, whether they keep him or not, you look at a $10 million base salary, a $12 million cap hit. Same thing with Tlaib. That's what happened with Tlaib. The number got too big. It wasn't like he was playing awful.
Right.
You got young guys, Bradley Roby, time to see him start every down. And you got, you know, Langley, and you got, you drafted Yottam. It's just an evolution, right? You got to start seeing these young guys play, and the veteran guys are getting older and older, and it's time to turn the page on them, even if they're playing good football. You just can't take a cap hit. I think Tlaib was right around $12 million, $11, 12 million
exactly,
also. It's the same thing that we're going to be having a conversation with Emmanuel Sanders as we did with Tlaib when they eventually just had to trade him.
And maybe this conversation has a different tone to it had Emmanuel Sanders come off a year like he did in, say, 2014 or 15. He's coming off a year in which he only played 12 games, missed 4 games because of an injury, a lot of the other times playing on the injury. And at the end of the day, in 12 games, so 3/4 of an NFL season, it's 555 yards and 2 touchdowns, which was the lowest number of touchdowns since he had dating back to his 3rd year in Pittsburgh and was the lowest yard number dating back to his 2nd year in Pittsburgh.
I really don't think when I look at it, he's playing for another team this next year.
19.
Well, he's going to go out there this year. And just like he said, I mean, he's going to have to go out there and have a good year because he looks at all of these signs and it just says to me that he's not going to be here in 2019. Unless he goes out there and has a 1,400-yard season, 12 touchdowns. Other than that, he's probably not going to be here. He's just not. That's the way it's going to go. You got these young receivers that they're very high on. If these guys continue to progress and get better, Manuel's not going to be here the following year. So what is he doing this year? He is trying to earn a job and earn a contract with another team because he's still a really good player. And you watch him out there, and this guy is – I love watching him because he gets out in and out of his breaks, and he runs routes a little bit like Marvin Harrison, okay? Just quick at the line of scrimmage. You can't get your hands on him. And the way he gets in and out of his breaks is special. But you look at his age, and what he is going to be doing this year is going to be really showcasing his skills and telling teams that, you know what, I'm not too old to keep playing at this level, at a very high level. And I'm still worth a lot of money. But the odds of it being here in Denver are very slim.
Very slim.
Very, very.
And he would
extra
have to
very, very.
Extra very, very.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yep.
That's long odds.
Yep.
You go back to his best season that he's ever had, 2014, where he had 101 receptions. I mean, think about that number. 101 receptions on 141 targets. He played all 16 games, 1,400 yards, 1,404 to be specific, and 9 touchdowns. Far and away the best year he's ever had as a pro. We know who that came with. Can he find the semblance of that with Case Keenum this year? Because I'm viewing Emmanuel Sanders in 2018 almost the same way I'm viewing Shane Ray, where I have an understanding that can he possibly be here beyond the season? Sure, he can. But more than likely, realistically, the way the league works, Shane Ray will not be a member of the Broncos. But we know he's locked in for this year. And we know he's fighting for his professional life, as is Emmanuel Sanders. So the best thing for both parties is for Emmanuel Sanders to go out and just crush and make the Broncos think about it a little bit, but at the very bare minimum, have some of his best days here with Case Keenum in 2018 and just be here in the moment, in the now. Enjoy that guy's talents while he's here.
Yeah, it's a good comparison. Shane Ray and Emmanuel, both those guys are not going to be here next year. I mean, that's just, you know, I said it about CJ going into last year, and I'm going to say it about both of those guys. You look at both of the situations, and they won't be here the following year. I just don't see that happening. But that's not going to impact their play this year, because as an NFL player, you got to go out there and perform every single year. You look at Emmanuel Sanders, okay? He's getting up there in age a little bit, and he's got to prove to everybody that, you know what, I still got 3, 4, 5 good years left in me. I can still play at a high level. He only played in 12 games last year. He needs to stay healthy. All of a sudden, those 12 games go to 6 games. There's not going to be many suitors willing to pay him a lot of money, you know, to get another big contract. It'll be one of those one-year deals. But if he goes out and has plays in 16 games and has a really productive season, you know, he'll sign another 3-year deal and with a very nice contract. Shane Ray is for different reasons. You look at his situation. He needs to go out and just stay healthy and prove that he can stay healthy and prove that he can be consistent. And somebody will give him a nice deal. But both those guys are playing for their future, most likely with another football team. And that's okay. That's the NFL.
And he knows that. We know that.
Right.
The Broncos know that. Yep. Because you see this in Nikki's article from The Athletic. When asked if Denver was his full-time home, he said, quote, for now. He emphasized this year. You know, so everyone's on the same page. And for Emmanuel to use the specific verbiage, you actually don't hear pro athletes use this term. But it was so unusual, it stuck out to me. He said, I'm working for the Denver Broncos this year. That he is in that mindset of, look, I'm going to try to give you my best because that's what's best for me. That's what's best for you. Yep. I'm working here. I got a Broncos logo on my helmet for now, but this is a full audition for you or someone else.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I don't look at any of these comments and say, gosh, man, what is he thinking? Why is he thinking that way? Why is he not committed to the Denver Broncos for the rest of his life? You know, it just, as an NFL player, you realize that when you look at certain situations and you look at his situation, the writing's pretty much on the wall. So he is auditioning this year to show teams that even though he's going to be 32 years of age going into 2019, that he can still play at a high level, still can stay healthy, and he can help another football team out. That's what he's doing. And that's a mindset that you actually want as a fan. You want those guys to realize their situation and realize that, you know what, I got to go out and have a great year because that benefits the Denver Broncos. I don't need to hear all that spill about, you know what, I want to retire a Bronco just love this organization and I'm going to be here for the rest of my career and yada, yada, all those lies.
Just keep it real.
Just keep it real. And that's what he's doing. And I can respect that because I think we're going to get the best of Emmanuel Sanders because sometimes guys are so, they just can't see things clearly. They can't see that, you know what, you're fighting for your future here in the NFL and with the Denver Broncos. And I can tell right here that Emmanuel Sanders realizes that, and I like that because you're going to get the best possible Emmanuel Sanders this year.
I think so. I really do.
Oh, I do too. He looks great out there. I love watching him run routes. And if he stays healthy, he's going to have a great year.
Yep, I agree. Seeing reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Thanks, Stoke, for keeping it real about Emmanuel. Tired of D-Mac, Zach, and others at your station always trying to paint Sanders as a villain. I don't think that, speaking for myself, that I've done that. Called out things that I don't like, but it was just 3 weeks ago I tried to argue that he was the most dynamic player on this offense. And
yeah.
I really believe that. I believe that Emmanuel Sanders is a 80 to 85 reception guy this year with 1,100 yards. I think this time next year, unfortunately, we won't be able to spin it forward to 2019. But when we look back at this year, I think we are once again going to, as a football community, not just here in Broncos country, but as a football community nationwide, that we will once again regard DT and Emmanuel as the one of the five best receiving duos, pure receiver duos in the National Football League. I believe that.
I think we can. You know, DT looks good out there. He looks healthy, fresh. Emmanuel looks healthy. If both those guys stay healthy with Case Keenum, and I think the emergence of this defense getting back to where we expect it to be, I think you'll see both of those guys put up big numbers. We got a good BramosLaw.com text here. So why wouldn't the Broncos, why would they keep him this year? Why wouldn't they just, you know, trade him during training camp or you know, somewhere around that time, kind of like they, you know, when they released T.J. Ward a year ago? Why wouldn't they just try to trade him? And for me, I think you want to keep your really good football players. You know, you really don't know what you got in Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton. Do you just want to turn the reins over to one of those guys right now? I don't think so. I think you want to try to get the best out of Emmanuel Sanders, which you will be getting this year because he understands his situation. And why not take advantage of that and keep your weapons? Because this guy is a weapon. I mean, you look at the New England Patriots game last year.
Oh my goodness, he came out on a mission. Put on a clinic.
He put on a clinic. And if this guy stays healthy.
Who was covering him that game?
Malcolm Butler.
Malcolm Butler.
I mean, he made him look silly.
And then told him about it afterwards.
Oh, yeah. He was fired up.
right.
And I think you'll see that type of Emmanuel Sanders this whole year if he can stay healthy. So I want to keep that guy because you're going to get the best version of Emmanuel Sanders because of his situation. And he realizes that, which I like and I can appreciate. So I don't want to trade that guy, even though I do like these young guys. You want to try to keep your strength to strength. And right now you got good depth at the wide receiver position. You got young guys that you can kind of sprinkle in there.
Sure.
And let them learn from Emmanuel. Let's just keep this receiving group together as much as possible and give Case Keenum as many weapons as possible.
And I was just going to say, if you got rid of Emmanuel right now, what a built-in incentive for Case, and I know he's already signed, but you'd be taking that away. And I think you'd be hurting Case Keenum, you'd be hurting the offense, you'd be hurting Bill Musgrave. And going back to what you said about the rookies, we think we know what we have coming down the pipe, but we haven't seen the card flipped over yet.
Right.
You know, now we're keeping score. We're counting the cards kind of, if you can go with me on this analogy. So I think I know what's coming, but at the end of the day.
You're not counting the cards.
I know
there's
I'm not.
There's no chance of that.
But I'll hire
Four
someone to do it.
Four plus two plus one. But
when you count cards, three, it's more probable ten, that you're right. And I think that we have something coming because our eyes have told us that OTAs and minicamp, but we still don't know for sure.
We don't know for sure. We haven't seen real football. We haven't seen them try to go over the middle and catch the ball while getting hit.
It's true.
We haven't seen any of that stuff. So all signs are pointing that these guys are going to be really good players. But we don't know. They look good. We just don't know yet. And you don't want to just throw young, inexperienced wide receivers out there right away and just say, go ahead, go for it. We're counting on you this year. Vance Joseph's job's on the line. Go make some plays for him. We don't want that. It's a big year for a lot of people in that building. And you don't want to go with an inexperienced wide receiver outside.
Someone on the RamosLaw.com text line says, what happens if Sander has that special year you're talking about, but the rookies also have a special year?
Well, they're moving on from Emmanuel.
Pretty simple, right?
Yep, and maybe you could trade him and get something for him like you did with Tlaib. Probably not, because when you're looking at a 32-year-old wide receiver,
With that money coming down
on a one-year deal, not many teams will take it. I was a little bit surprised that somebody took that contract of Tlaib. But he plays a different position, plays cornerback, and that's more of a premium position than, you know, an older outside wide receiver.
Really, really good conversation and getting some great responses on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Duke saying Sanders is absolutely the best player on this offense. And he's also not as big of an idiot with Tlaib gone. I'm not sure what sort of association those had, if any, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think when you look at Emmanuel and what he could produce this year, if he stays healthy, I think he goes out and has a great year. I
think
there's too much into Tlaib being around and what kind of impact he'll have now that he's not here. And I don't know. I don't think it's a big deal at all. I don't think it's all of a sudden you're going to get a better Emmanuel Sanders than you did the last couple of years because no Tlaib.
Yeah, but although I will say this, I hope that Emmanuel despite knowing where he stands with his future with the Broncos. You see it's sort of written all over his quotes, if you will. I hope that he has the same attitude in potentially his last year in Denver that Shane Ray has had. That knowing that you are, yes, are you auditioning with your play as well? Of course, that's 99% of it. But that other 1%, just going about this thing with a great attitude, be a great leader, be what you would like to think would be in that locker room for Deshaun Hamilton and Cortland Sutton and Isaiah McKenzie and Carlos Henderson if it comes to it. Just go about this thing, you know, the way you should. And I think that he will. Be a pro.
I do too. Because he understands his situation. You don't want to be a distraction or be a negative influence in that locker room, because that could hurt you if you do become a free agent at the end of the year. You want to have the smile on your face, go out there, play great football, and if you do that, things will be okay for you, whether it's here or somewhere else. And it's probably going to be somewhere else, but you know what? If you go out there and you're not a distraction, you have a great year, you're a great leader. I mean, wouldn't other 31 other teams really love to have that guy on their football team? You'll get paid a lot of money. You'll have a nice contract, and everything will work out in the best interest of Emmanuel Sanders if that happens this year. And he realizes that. That's what I like. He realizes that, the situation that he's in.
Speaking of the value of Emmanuel Sanders, interesting article on ESPN.com. Who are the Broncos' five most important players? We'll take a dive into that when we come back.